Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. We're get started here. Any prayer concerns? Just off my head, I'm not thinking of any. See if there's calendar.
Severe bronchitis.
Stephen was telling me that his dad's back in the hospital again for that ongoing problem of fluid. He retains fluid, and he's back on the hospital for that. He was home for a few days, and then this started reoccurring again, so he's gone back. Okay, if nothing else, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us, our health that we have, Father. Father, we pray for those and watch over those that maybe don't have as good a health, Father, and it's hindering their ability to get around. We pray, Father, you be with them and help them to recover their health. And Nyla's husband, who has a severe bronchitis and the respiratory problems, Father, that you be with them and help the doctors to help him to overcome that, Father. Father, be with us all always in our daily lives to take your word to others and to show you them and let them know that you're always there for us, Father, for those that diligently seek after you, Father, and that we will use that avenue that you've given us to talk to you, and that we will use that, Father, and continue to talk to you at all times. Be with us in the study as we learn about your will for us talking to you, Father. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen. Okay, I hope you picked up the paper as you came in. What's that?
Nyla herself is sick.
She's sick also?
No, she's only one. She hurts herself.
Oh, it's not her husband?
She's a widow. Yeah, it's just her.
Oh, okay. So that was Nyla that's sick, not her husband. Okay, so we're talking about prayer. And this lesson four, and it's on the principles of prayer. And so far, the privilege of prayer is what we talked about last week. Who, we saw that few truly benefited from prayer. That's odd, you would think. But when you think about it and what he says, and how we look at the world, we can understand that. When we find out that the ones that have the privilege of prayer, when he says are the children of God who became such through obedience to Jesus, that's us, okay? And then also sinners seeking after truth and righteousness who will be heard, and that God will provide them opportunity to hear and obey the truth. He doesn't say they're saved, he's gonna give them an opportunity, and Cornelius was the example of that. And so when you combine those two together, you see it's not a big group that really is have the privilege of praying to God and him hearing their prayers. So that's how I take that. And then the full benefit of prayer comes only as the principles of prayer, and that's what we're going to talk about today, are observed, as we observe his principles. The principles laid down by Jesus and his inspired apostles are the one that did it, and principles that determine the final outcome of our prayers. So, what are the principles of prayer? That must govern our praying, first of all. First, we must pray in faith. We have to have faith. A prayer requires faith. And we know some of a lot of these verses we've kind of talked about before, and a lot of them we're very familiar, should be very familiar with. So whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. In Matthew 21:22, he says exactly that. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You have to believe. And otherwise, our prayers will not be answered. James 1:5-8, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. But we're to ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we've got to have faith and not doubt that God will hear us and will answer our prayers. So we have to have faith in God, that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's one of the things about what we just read, that we got to have faith that he is God, Jehovah, the Almighty One. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we diligently seek him, he will reward us. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is what? He is God. He is Jehovah. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to have the faith and realize that he is a rewarder. And then such faith comes from the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where our faith comes from. And where do we find the Word of God? The Bible. That's what that is his Word for us. And basically, Carol? Yeah, there is, that is that part that you, she said, we have faith in that. I think what he's talking about here is the faith that is seeking him according to Jesus' word. It's what the faith that we have to have. But yeah, there's probably a lot of things that we can have faith in. But the true full amount of faith we're talking about is to be able to talk to God. So, with the aid of his word, we can have the kind of faith that pleases God and ensures an answer to our prayers. That's a little bit of an answer to that, what she was just said, that that kind of faith, this kind of faith that pleases God. So we must, we must pray with humility. Humility before God. We got to have humility before him. And a virtue highly it's a virtue that's highly valued by God. In Isaiah 57:15, he says, "For thus says the high and lofty one." Who's the high and lofty one? God. So he's saying, God is saying this, that's going to follow. "Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit." God deals with those that have a contrite and humble spirit. People that, as humans, that have a contrite and humble spirit, God dwells with us. And then to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's what he can do. And then Isaiah 66:1-2, you find that, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is a house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made." He's made all these things, all the things in the world. "And all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." I was going to look up contrite and forgot. Does anybody have a definition for what contrite means? What?
Google it.
Okay. Reed's looking up contrite.
"Feeling or expressing remorse or penitence, affected by guilt."
Okay. Affected by guilt, penitence. And what that to me means, the one that is, I forgot the word I was going to use, repenting of his sins, of how he is, and he's contrite in that manner. So, any other thoughts on that?
Well, recognizing you have sin.
Yeah, okay. And then another thing that we must pray with humility is, "The Lord is near and save those with contrite hearts." Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near. He's near to us, close by. And to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. Those that are repenting, the example is, the good example is, of course, the publican praying on the street corner, and the tax collector hides in the closet and prays. That is what he's talking about. In the New Testament, the tax collector, he had the broken heart. He had the contrite spirit. In his prayers, whereas the publican or the Pharisee, I can't remember which he's called. I think he's called a Pharisee. It's a Pharisee that's on the corner, saying, "Look at me, how great I am, basically. That he didn't have this broken heart or this contrite spirit that God wants. And then he gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives, notice he gives grace to the humble. To those that humble themselves. And of course, we're going to come to that verse in a little bit. Humility in prayer, exemplified in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which was what I was just talking about. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, he's pointing to that guy, that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. When will that Pharisee be humbled? Because I think he's the one being exalted. When will he be humbled? And when will tax collector, so it says he who humbles himself, tax collector, one who humbles himself, will be exalted. And when will he be exalted? They're going to trade places at some point.
I think you're looking for the answer happens at the end, but I think it happens throughout life.
It could happen throughout life, yes, but the answer I'm really is looking at, that first one is in the end, when they come before God. That tax collector is going to find, or the Pharisee is going to find out, uh-oh, I didn't. I was really sorry. I was wrong. But he's going to be parted, left with the goats, I guess. And the tax collector is going to be exalted because he's going to be moved on to life with God, heaven. Yeah.
I think it's something we as saints wait for. I mean, of course, it would be better then, but we have that gift now.
Right. Where am I? Okay, so, and then humility leads to exaltation by God. This humility does. In Luke 18:14, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Basically, it's the same, I think it's the same rendering of the prayer we just talked about. Well, it's a continuation on. It's actually the same verse.
Yeah.
And then James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's telling what's that guy that's getting exalted. When you humble yourself, you will be exalted. And I think that goes with what was, we were saying, that in this life, you can be exalted too. If we humble ourselves, can humble ourselves and realize this, as God has it, we are going to be exalted. It's going to make us feel better. I don't know that person that exalts himself ever can feel better about anything. If you understand what I'm trying to say, that those that think more of themselves, so I don't think they really truly have happiness in life. That's something they're always looking for. Whereas those of us that humble ourselves find happiness in everything.
Contentment,
thank you. Much better word. That we're very happy with things. And okay, well, I didn't get that raise, but so what? We're living fine, doing fine. Things like that. Whereas one that exalts themselves will get mad because they didn't get the raise or the promotion, and will then be not that good of an employee, I guess you could say. So we got to watch out for those things. So with faith and humility before God, we are prepared to pray with the proper disposition. We will have the proper attitude. We must pray in harmony with God's will. God's will and our prayers. Prayers are answered favorably if we ask according to his will. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's according to his will. What do you think God's will is? No ideas?
For us to follow him and to obey him.
What's that?
For us to follow Jesus and obey him.
That's one good point. What?
Well, same thing as what she said.
Yep. And God's will is that all what?
Come to repentance.
What?
What,
that all men should come to
repentance.
Repentance? Is that okay? Repentance. In other words,
willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah, that all should come to him. That's Jesus said something like that. I came to
seek and save the lost.
Yeah, seek and save the lost. Thank you. So he's wanting to bring them all. He wants to bring all mankind to God. God doesn't want anybody to go off into everlasting punishment. He wants all of us to be saved. So, to me, that's his will. And that's how we would be praying, I would think, that whatever it is we're asking for, that it be to accomplish that will. He will hear those prayers. God, give me a new car because mine's breaking down. Not going to hear it. But God, give us a car so that we can get over to such and such a place to talk to those people that are seeking your will. That one I think he will hear and answer in some way.
How about he gives you the desires of your heart?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, this isn't going on. It's there, but it's not. It was looking, about 6, 7 years, I don't know, 7 years ago, let's say, here. They were looking for some way to get some of the people that weren't that physically able to get here, to get them here to church. So what they basically, it was Alex, I think. I don't know the whole situation, but Alex, I'm going to say Alex found this bus. The bus was in Portland, someplace over there in Oregon anyway. And it was, pretty sure it was free. The guy was going to give it away to a church. And so Alex went down there and got it. It broke down, I think, the first day he started to drive it or something. He took it back, got it back. The guy fixed it for nothing, and they drove it here. And it was used for several years to pick up several people to get them here to different services. That, to me, that was a prayer answered, that God answered that prayer because of the intent and what it was going to do. Now, if he just said, give us a bus so we can go around, I don't know how you would, how that would be wrong. But anyway, a car for the minister, just for a car for Reed to, just so he can get back and forth. That'd be maybe, maybe not. When he already had one, let's say. God may not answer that one, or he may not answer it till 5 years down the road when he really needs one. You know, so God answers prayer in a lot of different ways in that sense. So moving on, unless somebody has something else. Prayers more concerned with our will than God's are turned down. In James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. And that's what I was talking about. Meaning, when we ask for it to be on our own pleasures, we probably aren't going to get it. But if we ask it according to do God's will, that we're more apt to get. So, his will be done. So Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, 9, and 10. And it's more than this. In this manner, therefore, pray. It's to God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done, not ours, but yours. On earth as it is in heaven. And then that continues on telling us more things we can pray for. So he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, just like this. And did I? Matthew 6. I've got to find out where I am. Okay, Matthew 6. Luke 22, 14. I hit the up button instead of the down button. And that's real confusing. When you see something up there, but you don't know where you are. So he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22, 42. He says, saying, Father, if it is your will, this is Jesus saying, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not Jesus' will, but yours be done. My will would be, let me not have to go through this, but I will do what it is you want me to do. And then such praying made easier when our will is to do God's will. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's what he thrived on, to do his Father's will who sent him and to finish his work, to finish that, to make that sacrifice that would finish that had started way back a couple thousand years before in the garden when man sinned. He was finishing that work that separated man from God. He was separated then to bring us back to him. So, with faith in God and humility towards him, we will gladly yield to his will for us. We must pray with thanksgiving. A prayer and thanksgiving, giving thanks always for all things to God. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're to pray. Giving thanks all the time. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly. So continue all the time earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And that kind of will get to, I think, next week's continue earnestly, pray without ceasing, and that we are to do it. I can't remember what the word is for it, but to be persistent. I think that's next week's. So we need to continue earnestly in prayer. And then pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. Pray without ceasing. In other words, don't stop. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The attitude of gratitude. God's people were always to be thankful. Psalms 104 in the Old Testament have always been supposed to be that way. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Be thankful to God. And bless his name. And then Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We're to all be thankful all the time. Ingratitude is an indication of apostasy. Kind of a strange thought there. When we aren't grateful for what God has done, it can lead to apostasy, a meaning, a separation, a leaving of God. In Romans 1:21, he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So they knew him, but they didn't glorify him. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So people that believed, but they didn't glorify him, and they weren't thankful, was leading them astray. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankfully unholy. So that's what we can become if we aren't careful. Do we seriously think God will help us with our present burdens if we don't take the time to thank him for past blessings? Finally, another principle of prayer is that we must pray in the name of Jesus. We need to close our prayers that it's in his name that we're asking this. Praying in the name of Jesus, taught by Jesus himself to his disciples in John 14:13-14, says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what do we got to do? We ask in his name, and we got to be according to God's will. He'll do it. And then 16:23, where he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. He'll give it if we ask in his name. And then commanded by Paul to the Christians in Ephesus in Ephesians 5:20, where he says, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how one of the things we're to pray, in his name. The name of Jesus and prayer means more than simply applying in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers. We acknowledge Jesus as the only way by which we can approach God. In John 14:6, he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way to get to God, is through Jesus. And we acknowledge Jesus as the only, and we recognize him as our high priest who intercedes for us. He has become the high priest now and intercedes for us in Hebrews 7:24-25. But he, because he continues forever has an unchangeable priesthood. That priesthood cannot be changed once it was established. That can't be changed. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So those that come to him in prayer and in his name. And then in John 14, 13 and 14, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Made some promises there for us. So, in conclusion, in summary, we say, the principles of prayer we have examined are these. We must pray in faith, pray with humility, pray in harmony with the will of God, pray with thanksgiving, and pray in the name of Jesus. Those are the principles of prayer. We can't overestimate the value of the word of God in regards to these principles. Faith comes from the word of God. Humility is learned by reading the word of God. Knowing the will of God is impossible without the word of God. And thanksgiving is made easier when we read of our blessings in the word of God. The importance of having Jesus as our high priest is revealed in the word of God. That's the value of the word of God. That's the value of the importance of having Jesus as our high priest. That's revealed to us. And we know about, we know we're priests. He's the high priest that we go through. And something that you don't have on those papers, there's another page, this is on it. It says, with the word of God to guide and aid us in observing the principles of prayer, we are better equipped to make prayer a truly meaningful and beneficial experience in our lives. But there is yet another principle of prayer, and that's persistence, to which we shall give consideration in our next study. That's going to be the next one, is the persistence in prayer that we need to have. But that statement, let's see. We're better equipped to make prayer a truly meaningful and beneficial experience in our lives. Prayer can really help in our daily lives. We can understand, we live better when we know we're talking to somebody. How much better do you feel just in your daily life, something comes along and you talk to somebody else, to a friend? You basically, you're venting your frustration or your anger or something to somebody else. How much better does that make you feel? That's what God is there for too. We can vent our anger, frustration, whatever, to God by talking to him. So that concludes this one on the principles of prayer. Any comments, thoughts, or anything else? We have still a few minutes. Okay, no, that's it. I'm done.